Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 241.
scripture reading for this morning can be found in the first book of Moses and there of Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Kedolomar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemabar, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Kedolomar, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Kedolomar and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emans in Sheva, Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto Elpharam, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmispat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Kedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedolomar and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shepha, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer the family of Mrs. Patricia Clock, who passed away last night. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth, we try to draw nigh unto Thee in this morning hour, when we are gathered together in a day of thanksgiving. Thou knowest those also that have been cast into mourning, and then it will be for them so difficult in this day. The children, the family, when then it seems everything is so contradictory. How shall they have a day of thanksgiving when it seems that Thy hand that has come out so against them? And then it will be with them as we can read it was with a Naomi of old, who said, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Lord, we beseech Thee for them. For who can enter into the pain and into that sorrow of those who are orphans and who have neither father nor mother in this world? And then it is so against the way that Thou hast created us to live forever in all happiness and in all peace. Oh, what sin has brought into this world, and that Thou may uphold them on every side, and that Thou would become truly a father and mother unto them, and that they may feel that underneath are Thine everlasting arms, and that Thou may instruct each and every one of us in the shortness of our life and the seriousness of our life as we travel to our long home. We know not what one day may bring forth, and that is all known unto Thee. But our time here below, we read it and we see it about us day after day. And we feel it also in our own bodies from time to time. And that we have here no continuing city, but that we may seek one to come. And we are gathered in this morning hour and in this day, in a special day of thanksgiving before Thee. And then it behooves us to bow before Thee in great and in deep humility. For Thou, O Lord, our God, art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and with majesty. And Thou coverest Thyself with light as with a garment. And Thou stretchest out the heavens as a curtain. And Thou layest the beams of Thy chambers in the waters. Thou dost make the clouds Thy chariot. And Thou walkest upon the wings of the wind. Thou who hast created all things, Thou also art the great benefactor of all Thy creatures here below, so that the creatures do look for Thee for their food, and Thou hast provided it in due season once again. Then Thou hast set bounds that the waters may not pass over, and thou hast caused the springs to go down into the valleys, that the beasts may drink, and that the wild asses may quench their thirst. And thou hast made the grass to grow once again in the season that is behind us, and that it may be for the beast to eat and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine to make glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread that strengtheneth man's heart. And thou knowest all our unworthiness that lives within our hearts, and all that comes forth from us from day to day. And thou, despite who and what we are, hast still extended thy great goodness and long-suffering over us. Oh, we can read in thy holy word that there came a time when thou didst see that the sons of men did take the daughters of this world unto them, and that there was great wickedness in the earth, that it did so grieve thee. And because the imagination of the thought of the hearts of men was only evil continually, and thou didst say that thou wouldst bring a great flood upon the earth. And so thou hast done in thy great wrath. And thou hast saved believing Noah with his family. Lord, thou hast given thy bow in the cloud. And we have seen it so many times also in the season that lies behind us. And we can read that thou wouldst look upon that bow, and that thou wouldst remember that covenant that thou hadst made with the earth, that as a seed time and harvest, summer and winter, should not cease anymore. O Lord, thou wouldst restrain thyself when thou wouldst see the imagination of the evil thoughts of mankind. And so they do appear before thee also in the days in which we live with our children. As we have heard in the day of yesterday, that thy judgments, they are due upon us as a people. And when it was in the heart of thy servant to see it 40 years ago, and then how much more in our day, when we do make ourselves ripe for that great judgment. And still thy bounties over us, they are so very, very great. And then we try to humble ourselves before thee, O great majesty. Thou who couldst in one moment pass us by not only, but cut us off and cast us from thee forever and forever. Oh, give us in this morning and in this day a holy awe before thee. We beseech thee for open eyes to see thy gifts and thy blessings, that our hearts may be humbled before thee in uprightness and in truth, and in the dust of self-abasement, and that thou may cause our eyes to see and our ears to hear out of thy holy word what thy command is unto us. Oh, that we may seek thee and live, that we may be forgiven all of our ingratitude and all of our many sins. For we confess before thee that we have taken so many things for granted day after day. And it is not until the blessings are taken away from us that we begin to see what we have been blessed with previously. O Lord, that thou may remember us in thy mercy, and that thou may give us open hearts of love for thee. O, that our affections may be upon thee, and that we may desire thee to be our God. Oh, that we may desire that thou may say unto us in a personal way, I am the Lord thy God. Lord, that thou may look upon us in mercy, and we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given unto us as a nation, when thou hast spared us and given that all may prosper in the days in which we live. When many are without food, drink, and clothing, and shelter in this world, and when thou hast blessed us beyond measure, so that we live each one as kings and as princes here below, nothing lacking. Also in the midst of our own families, that thou hast provided in a great and in a wonderful way. And we need eyes to behold it, that thou hast given also that we may meet together in thy house Sabbath after Sabbath day, and that our children may be given to gather in our own Christian school, and that thou hast granted unto us what was necessary thus far, that all this may be supported. O Lord, wilt thou humble us before thee, and wilt thou grant us this day a place before thee as thy servant who did go to sit before thee in thy temple and to say, O Lord, who am I, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Oh, that thou may supply further for all our needs which only can come from thee. And wilt thou grant also, Lord, and that not only the labors of our hands in this world may be blessed, and that there may be prosperity, but that there also may be fruit upon thy holy word. Oh, that it may have been even in the season that lies behind us. Oh, then we have to say that we as thy servant, as a consistory, we have not heard so much of this. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee that it may yet be taking place in the inner chamber, and that thou may give in a great way this blessing, because this we cannot miss, though we have all the blessings that are in this world. Oh, we beseech thee then for the reign of thy Holy Spirit upon us and upon our children, that the ground of our fallow hearts may be plowed up, and that there may be the dew of thy Spirit that may fall gently upon our hearts. Oh, that we may become a willing people in the day of thy power, and that that power may be to draw us irresistibly and effectually to thy blessed footstool, where there is not only the blessings of this life to be received, but those blessings that shall go out of this life and endure, that substance that endures to all eternity. Lord, we beseech thee for this blessing in this morning hour in a special way, that thou may remember all that are afflicted and all that are sick, and all that are not able to gather with us in this morning hour. Remember all thy servants who go forth to bring thy word, and the student also in Calgary in this day. Oh, may thou be on his right and on his left hand, and ours also, and all those who do bring thy word. And wilt thou give that it may be sanctified and blessed. Wilt thou give it in this morning hour a little strength, a little wisdom for us to bring thy word and to take away everything that does hinder in the speaking and in the listening, And may thou thyself grant what we cannot give unto ourselves, as thy servant of old did say, and did beseech of thee. O Lord, give what thou commandest, and command what thou wilt, and then thou canst command us a thankful heart, when we may by thy Spirit be given to say, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Do it, Lord, for thy own great name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 378, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Give thanks to God, for good is he. His grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be. His mercy faileth never. And what follows, there will be one collection today that is for the church fund, unless otherwise marked. Psalter 378, all the stanzas. It is, beloved congregation, Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving that is one of the most difficult duties that are required of mankind. Why? Because true thanksgiving that requires a certain disposition of our heart. And it is possible that we are attempting to convince a man in this world of something which is upon our mind. And then it is sometimes a very difficult thing, but with much persuasion, and then it can by times be accomplished. But who is able to change the disposition of the heart of a man, to make his heart glad, or to make his heart sad, to make a man weep, or to make the heart of a man to rejoice, and to fill his heart with thanksgiving? We were reading just lately in the book of Warburton's Mercies of a Covenant God. Maybe you have read it, young people, and if not, you may look upon your shelves in your home, because it is well worth your time. And then he speaks about the many deliverances of the Lord because he was a poor man. And he speaks one time that he owed £7 and he had but two. And the Lord in a wonderful way has provided for him. And then he sent off his wife that she may honorably pay that debt. And he thought, I go into the house of the Lord all by myself, and there I will praise the name of the Lord. And he says, I am so ashamed to write it. But he says, when I come in that house, then a thought came in my heart that it could have been, and that the Lord had given in the heart of that man to send an extra £2. And then I would have had enough also for the future for a little while. And he abhorred himself for such a thought. And he could not get a thankfulness within his heart any more than he said that he could make a world. And so then he did say how he learned that thankfulness that is a gift of God. And so it is also experienced in the life of each one of God's true children. But Solomon, he says that the Lord, he has the heart of kings in his hand. And so it is, ever since our fall, we have made ourselves kings, and we are sitting upon our own throne. But the Lord, he still has our heart in his hands. And we can read that he has hardened the heart of a Pharaoh, and that he has opened the heart of a Lydia, and he has given generosity in the heart of Israel to give for the tabernacle and for the temple, so that they had to be restrained yet from their giving. And he has humbled the heart of a Manasseh in the prison. And he has filled the heart of Aholiab and Bezalel with wisdom for the making of the tabernacle of the Lord. And so he has the heart of all men in his hands. And thanksgiving, yes, we can read that too. Only read about Mephibosheth, and how that he has answered to King David. Or read about Bartimaeus. But you see where the Lord has to bring us in our life, and that a thankful heart may be born. And yet all those afflictions, they need to be sanctified to this end. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which were read to you in Genesis 14, verses 21 through 24. Genesis 14, verses 21 through 24. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So far, the words of our text. Three men's acknowledgement of the benefits. First, Lot's. Second, the king of Sodom's. And third, Abram's. Three men's acknowledgments of the benefits. First, Lot's. Second, the king of Sodom's. And third, Abram's. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Ariah, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea, the first war congregation that we read recorded in the Holy Scriptures. And why recorded in the Holy Scriptures? That is not only or merely in order that it may be for the historical records of the nations, but it was because Lot was taken in this war. And Lot, that is of the church of the Lord, and that church that is the apple of his eye. What is the cause of this war? That is rebellion. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Thus, Lot joined himself, when he joined himself to Sodom, he joined himself to a people who were under subjection. They were serving. That means that Lot did make a slave of himself when he joined Sodom. That is what we have done in paradise also, when we have chosen him who was not God, but him who was under subjection, chosen to be in the service of him, then we have made ourselves a slave of him. And is that now also only Adam? Or is that also ourselves in this world, that we do continue under our father Adam, to make a slave of ourself to everything that is in this world and to everything that is passing away? Shinar, Elam, that is Chaldea, and that is Persia. Amraphel, Chedorlaomer, they are probably princes of the colonies of these great nations. And we can read here that 12 years they served, and in the 13th year, they rebelled. They made an alliance, and they attempted to deliver themselves from that slavery and to seek their freedom. That did not go well. Chedorlaomer, the following year, with his allies came, and they waged war, and they have smitten the entire outlying country. We can read that these five kings, they go out and they join battle. These kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Many perished by the sword. Many perished also in that area where we can read that there were slime pits. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Goods and victuals. Thus, they were a people who were blessed. They were a people whom the Lord had given to prosper. They had goods, they had victuals. But in one moment, all their goods and all their victuals are gone. O congregation, we do not see it. We do not believe it, do we? We have so many goods. We have all our victuals. But what we do not believe is that in one moment, in one day, in one week, in one month, very, very soon, all those goods and all those victuals, they can be taken away. Sodom, Gomorrah did not deserve goods. Sodom, Gomorrah did not deserve victuals. All those goods, all those victuals, they were abused because there was a place we can read in the Word of God of great wickedness. And then it is no wonder that the Lord, He permits those goods and those victuals of Sodom and Gomorrah to be confiscated and to be taken away. Then it is a just deprivation that the Lord brings in the midst of this wicked people. And what shall we say? If the Lord is pleased to do to us as He has done unto Sodom and to Gomorrah, and when all their goods and all their victuals were suddenly taken away from them, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Thus, God's people. God's people, they are included in the judgments. They are not spared in those judgments, the common judgments. No, Solomon, he says, there is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Thus, the church, and that is not exempt from the trials of this world. And their trials, they are often increased in the judgment of the nations. That is why the Lord, He has spoken unto the Apostle John, and He has said, come out of her, that you be not involved in her sins, and that you do not receive of her judgments. Lot, he placed himself voluntarily among those wicked, and he received of their plagues. He was judged with that land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did he go down there for, boys and girls, young people? What did he go there for? Because his uncle Abram, he traveled to that land under the promise of the Lord, that the Lord would make that his land. And then he went under the direction of the Lord, and he has separated himself from his uncle, not just to separate because their substance was great, but he has also chosen him a place in this world, a place that did look like it was the garden of the Lord, a place that was well watered everywhere. But it was a place where great wickedness dwelt. And thus, what are we looking for in the days of our youth? Are we looking to do even as Lot did do? To place himself among the wickedness of that people and to be judged with the plagues of that people and now those riches which he prized so highly and for which that he has gone down into Sodom. They are now taken away from him. He loses them. And not only does he lose them, but he is himself taken a prisoner. He is himself under the power of the enemy. And yet he is not under the power of the enemy. And why not? Because the Lord watches over him. And that is the only reason that the church of God is preserved. Because they are loved from eternity. Because they are bought with a great price, that is the price of blood. Because they are called by the Spirit in the time, and therefore they will be kept to the end of their life, and that to all eternity. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Abram's congregation loved peace. But sadly, peace cannot always be, except sometimes with war. And Abram, we can read, he had made a confederacy with Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. That was in the time of those warring tribes. That was a prudent thing. We can read that Abram, he trained his own servants in case it was necessary for the protection of his family, for the protection of his neighbors. Thus, Abram, he does not seek that the Lord would do a miracle in protecting him, but he is also using the means that are in his hand to use, those means of defense. And the Lord blesses those efforts. And he gives a victory to that very small army, against that very large army, against those mighty foes, so that he recovers everything and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And after, we read in that king of Sodom, he goes out to meet Abram, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavi, which is the king's dale, and then another king, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And then, children, say there is someone missing. Who is missing? Of the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. But who is missing? Who do we not read about anymore? Who do we read nothing of anymore? That is Lot. That is Lot. We do not read here his name. That is the man for whom Abram has risen up. Had Lot not been among them, then we do not know what Abram would have done. But we read here especially and specifically when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, etc., so that it was especially because that Lot, his nephew, was taken. And Abram had many reasons to excuse himself, did he not? Because of the conduct of his nephew Lot. And yet Abram does not excuse himself, but he sets himself aside. And all that conduct of his nephew, which was so selfish and it was really against Abram, Abram sets this all aside to go to relieve his nephew. And yet in the end, then there is a silence. Then we read nothing of his name anymore. And we read nothing that Lot is coming forth to acknowledge his uncle Abram. You would say, how is that possible? Gratitude, congregation, that must live in the heart of a man. That is where it resides. It is in the heart. But gratitude that must also come to expression. It must be expressed. Because if it is not expressed in some way or other, then it cannot be known to our benefactors. And it ought to be known to our benefactors. Because our benefactors, they have a right to look for this. That gratitude that is living in their hearts. But not only does Lot not come back to his uncle Abram, but Lot also does not acknowledge the Lord himself. So how do you know that? Well, that is so simple. Because children, young people, where did Lot go back? Well, he went right back to Sodom. Thus it seems that there is no impression in the heart of Lot. Oh, he was delivered. He was delivered from his poverty. He was delivered from his slavery. But as soon as he receives all his goods again, as soon as he receives all his victuals again, then he goes immediately back to that wayward life. Lot lacked that word of thanksgiving, but he did not only lack the word, he lacked the deed also. And that is even more than lacking the word, because this is the very evidence that gratitude that does not actually even live in his heart. O congregation, if the Lord does not give it, even after received grace, then we do not have it. How is it with us? When the Lord has now in this past season delivered us out of some pit that we have brought ourselves into, out of a hospital bed, out of a sick bed, out of some other circumstance from which we were not able to deliver ourselves. Oh, when that word of thanks was due unto our fellow man. Oh, did it exist there? But when that heart of thanksgiving that is due before him which searcheth the heart, oh, does it also exist there, that it may be evident also in our deeds, that we may leave our former life, our careless life, our vain life, our sinful life, out of that true gratitude that was now this ingratitude of Lot. How was that now with the king of Sodom? We read the king of Sodom was there. He did approach unto Abram. But when he approaches to Abram, then there is another king. That is the king of Salem. And the king of Salem, he is also, we read, he is the priest of the Most High God, that is Melchizedek. And then we see that the king of Sodom, that he restrains himself in the presence of this priest king. And so we see even in the life of this heathen king that there is a certain reverence that he says for the servant of the Lord that you may go first, and that he himself, he is stepping aside. Sometimes that respect that is shown more in the world than is shown in the church, because the king of Sodom, then he says he will let the heavenly things go before those earthly things. But when the king of Salem is finished, then we can read that the king of Sodom, that he is approaching again. And that is not only that he may congratulate Abraham, but it is that he may provide to him, that he may offer to him a proper gift. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. What a gratitude lay in the heart of that heathen king for Abram and all that he had done for him. By the laws of war, everything, all those goods that Abram had recovered, they actually belonged to Abram. He had a right to them. That was their custom. And now the king of Sodom, he agreed with this right, that he says, you take everything that you have recovered. It is now your own. He is agreeable. That is more than Lot ever was, before or now. And so the world that was outshining the church, the world outshining the church in self-denial, the world outshining the church in the expression of its gratitude, give me the persons and take the goods unto thyself. Oh, what a remarkable discernment. And that was even in this heathen king, that he sees and that those persons, they have a much greater value than all of those goods which he had, that he is setting them higher than those goods. How is that in our life? Because we may acknowledge the Lord for the many blessings, the many benefits. And about how is it for our own life? Because of the sparing of our life, that is not only to receive the greatest blessings in this world, but that the Lord has given to us our life itself. When that life that is so forfeited every day again, oh, do we ever feel something of this? And yet that king of Sodom, though he acknowledges Abram, then he fails to acknowledge the Lord. Why? Oh, we see that man, he never humbled himself. You read that of the king of Nineveh, that he lay in sackcloth and in ashes, and that was not true in his heart, we know. But it was at least in an outward way. But you read nothing of the kind in this king of Sodom. No, there was an acknowledgement of a man, but he saw no higher hand in this deliverance. Oh, he does not realize that it is actually for the sake of that true church of God that he and his people are spared. Because there is one man that is living among them for whom the Lord is sparing him and his people. The church, the cork upon which that whole world is floating. What a dealing of the Lord that he had with Sodom. Those Sodomites. And there was congregation before that the Lord cut that people off. Before that the Lord has destroyed them completely. So that we see that the Lord, he gives warning. That the Lord, he brings a calling in the life of those Sodomites. And he brings them so close to the people of the Lord. He brings them so close to the salvation of the Lord. Nature itself should have taught those heathen people that they must look and see where that victory of Abram is coming from. That small army that was not able to do what five heathen kings that was able to do what those five heathen kings were not able to do. When they had only opened their eyes, then they could see so clearly the hand of the Lord in their deliverance that they must go higher. And Paul says that they are by that law of nature even, without the word of God, left without excuse, because even of the little light that is remaining of nature, in nature, of God himself. But their eyes, they are blinded. Congregation, are our eyes also blinded? Oh, how unmindful are we? Those men of Sodom, they are unmindful. It seems like that impression that maybe that they had, that is soon gone. They go immediately back again to their wicked life. Oh, there comes a time that they would even slay Lot. They would even slay him for his life. They would slay him for that word of warning that he gave in their midst. It was all that they may continue on in their sin. That is man when he is left to himself. All the callings, all the warnings, they go to the wind. And man, he slays himself by the wickedness of the desires that are living in his heart. And all the blessings, the divine blessings, they are attributed to second causes. And the Lord, he is completely forgotten. Oh, the Lord, give us to examine our own hearts. Let us sing 353:1-3. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely have been swallowed up alive. 1 and 3 of Psalter 353. Our last thought, Abram's acknowledgement of the blessings. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine. Did not Abram have a right? Did Abram not have a right to take something of those spoils? Certainly he did, according to the customs of that time. And did Abram recognize that custom? Certainly he did, because he had allies. And he did not restrain his allies from receiving of those gifts. But that standard to which Abraham set himself, he did not set his neighbor to. We read the Pharisees, they did the opposite. That they laid burdens, the Lord Jesus says, on their neighbor, and that were grievous to be borne, and they themselves would not lift them with one of their fingers. Such was not the way of God's servant Abram. I have lifted up mine hand to the Lord. What is it? It is a gesture. It is a gesture of prayer and a gesture of the oath. An appropriate gesture to call God to witness, that he may see and that he may hear. And he actually swore an oath to the Lord. Because we read that I will not take, but it says actually literally, if I take, that is similar to God do so to me, and more also. He had sworn that oath before he left. Thus, Abraham left in faith of that victory that he would receive over those enemies. And where does that faith come from? That comes from the Lord himself and the righteousness of the cause. And that cause was righteous because it had to do with the church of the Lord. And therefore, Abram left with not only a cry in his heart, and not only faith to believe that the Lord would go with him and his allies, but also an oath, lifting up his hands unto the Lord. And he reveals that oath. He does not keep it quiet now, but he reveals that oath to the king of Sodom. You say, why must we not now be careful with the oath, that we must use an oath only in those most necessary circumstances? Why does Abram do that? Well, congregation, there were many kings who have fought with their neighbors for one purpose, and that was to get gain. And then often under color of another purpose. And thus Abram, when he reveals that oath that he had made to the Lord unto the king of Sodom, then he will quell any suspicion that may be in the heart of that king of Sodom concerning his motive when he went out in this warfare. And why is it that Abram will not have his neighbors to think that he has gone out to seek the riches of this world. Well, that has to do with the honor of the Lord. That has not to do with what that people would say of Abram. But it has to do in Abram's heart of what that with what that people that they will say of the Lord himself. Thus grace and faith in exercise that is holding the honor of the Lord so very highly. Because Abram speaks of the Lord even as Melchizedek spoke of him as the possessor of heaven and earth. That he owns everything. And that he is the one who is distributing everything to everyone, his portion in this world. And Abraham, he gives a testimony before that heathen king of that God whom he serves. And Abram, he was given the promise of the Lord. The Lord had said to Abram that he would bless him, that he would make his name great, and go back only a chapter or two. And then you can read at that time that Lot left him for Sodom. And the Lord, he says, go forth now amidst all this land and travel through it. And he says, this land will I give unto thee and to thy seed. Thus the Lord, the possessor of the heavens and of the earth, he is the one that is going to make Abram rich. And that is now the reason that Abram is revealing unto this king of Sodom this oath that he has made unto the Lord, that he will not take from a thread to a shoe latchet. No, he will not take the least of all the spoils. Lest what? Lest that heathen people, they should say, we have made Abram rich. He has come here into our country, and then he has received all our spoils. No, Abram says, the Lord, who has begun to fill his own promise, the Lord, he will also finish it. You say the Lord can use this. He can use this as a means in his hand to make Abram rich. Oh, the deceitfulness of our heart. Oh, the covetousness of our heart. No, it was for the sake of the name of the Lord that Abram, he says, not from a thread to a shoe latchet. Did he never receive gifts? Is it wrong to receive gifts? No, Abram did receive them another time. Did he not, boys and girls? You can read, he went down to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Pharaoh gave him gifts, and there Abram, he received those gifts from that king of Pharaoh, but he would not receive them from the Sodomites. And why would he not receive them from the Sodomites? Well, those Sodomites, they were a notoriously wicked people. And Abram would have nothing to do with their wickedness. And he would have nothing to do with their goods. Would he help them when they were in need? Oh, he would help them because of their distress. But he would not bring himself into too close a relationship with that heathen people. He would come to their aids with all of his goods to expend his goods that he had received from the Lord. But he would not hold himself accountable and under obligation unto another people, a sinful people in this world. What was Abram's reward? Oh, Abram, for Abram it was enough that the Lord had given him that victory. For Abram it was enough that the Lord had spared his nephew Lot and that he could bring him back again. No, he was not moved with covetousness. He was moved with love. He was moved with kindness. He was moved with no hope of reward. And he would not gain himself by all the misfortune of his fellow man here below. Oh, he had other riches. He had riches far above the riches in this world. And that must be evident. That must be evident to that heathen king. And it must be evident to Lot also. Oh, Lot. Do you not see now what the life is of your uncle Abram? Oh, congregation, it is Thanksgiving Day. Is that honor of the Lord? Is that living in our heart as worthy of the highest place? Or are we concerned also not only about ourselves, but what the world thinks of the Lord? Must we not put our hand in our bosom and take it out unclean? Are all our dealings with our fellow man in this world, in the sinfulness of this world, or are they in such a way as that we have the honor of the Lord in view? That we would have no desire to have any part of any kind of a dealing in this world, wherein the men of this world may mock at that true religion and the God of that true religion? Or is our highest desire, that is to give honor unto the Lord on this Thanksgiving Day, and every day may be, that no man can even tell in this world, even as it was with Lot, the difference between God's people and the world? And that is, congregation, a shame. Indeed, Lot vexed his righteous soul day by day. But what could Lot not do? He couldn't separate himself. All the riches of this world, they had too high a place in the heart of Lot, that servant of the Lord, that child of the Lord. But he lacked that separate life. It meant too much to him. And in the end, he had to rip it all away from him. To rip it all away from him. Did Lot go lost? Oh, no. That is, congregation, impossible. But that spark of grace that was laying so deep under those ashes, Lot actually had so little comfort from it in his life. And his children also, they failed to learn the fear of the Lord. And maybe it is today in our heart, even as it was in the heart of that king of Sodom, because, congregation, he had very nice words. They were words of thanksgiving. And that was good. But it was to man only. And it was without repentance. Oh, he clave to that sinful life. And then, congregation, our words are hypocrisy. When we do not bow under that goodness of the Lord, and when that goodness of the Lord does not lead us to repentance, oh, then what does the Lord say of our words this day? When all his callings, they go unheeded. And oh, if it remains that way, then we will end in that same place as that king of Sodom. Oh, then our judgment. We read his judgment. What was it, children? What was it? It was with fire and brimstone. And that was a man that said thank you to Abram. He did. And that was good. But the most important part in his life was still lacking. Oh, is that with us too? We cannot see your heart that is between each one of us and the Lord. Abram, he did not sacrifice his neighbor's goods. No, he only sacrificed his own, not the portion of this Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. True thankfulness, that is a personal matter. And that needs to be worked by the Holy Spirit in our heart. But when it is right, then the fruits of this, they also will become evident in our life as a basis for the salvation of our soul. Oh no, because then Lot, he would have gone lost. But it has to do, congregation, with the comfort that the Lord gives in our life. And that is what Abram may have. And it has to do with the honor of the Lord. And that's what Abram may love. Oh, may it be also in our hearts by grace. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do give in our hearts what was in the heart of thy servant Abram. Because with all our words, then there must also be deeds. And all our deeds and our words, they must come forth from a heart that is pure and upright before thee. And this, O Lord, this is thy gift. O grant it unto each and every one of us this day. Forgive thou all of our many sins, and wilt thou supply for us further this day. Remember thy servant who hopes to be among us in this afternoon hour. O stand thou on his right and on his left hand, and wilt thou grant him thy Holy Spirit and us instruction out of thy word. Forgive what was amiss even in this morning hour, in speaking and in listening, and all that was short and sinful before thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 251 and 2. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee, Most High Accord, to show thy love with morning light, and tell thy faithfulness each night. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 250. Not their word. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.